come, great shepherd of the sheep. Fill us with true wisdom, true divine Sophia, wisdom that comes from the truth of God that is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we pine after that truth. In the midst of a cacophony of sinful and evil voices in our world, help us to listen only to Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may not know this, but I lived in Somerville in 1976, 77, and 78. So in some ways, I'm back home. I can still remember, though, in those days, a huge stir in the media. And the stir was this. Scientists, almost every single one of them, were absolutely sure that there was a coming ice age. Does anybody remember that? I remember being totally freaked out, turning on the TV, looking at Colorado with 20-foot snowdrifts, thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to happen in Somerville very soon. Fast forward another decade, and science couldn't prove that there was global cooling, so we changed the terminology. We made it global warming, remember? And turn on the news, and you'd see thousands of dead frogs. You'd see a gaping hole in the ozone layer, some scientists talking about that, caused by all the carbon emissions. And the dire prediction was that hole was going to get bigger, and then we're all going to die of skin cancer. You remember that? Fast forward another decade. And they had difficulty proving that it was warmer or cooler, so they decided to make another name for it, and that was climate change. My goodness, the climate's changing. Run for the hills. There are going to be earthquakes and melting polar ice caps and tornadoes and floods and droughts and hurricanes, things of which we've never seen in the history of humanity. Let me give you a secret. The climate is changing. It's always changed. It has been changing forever and will continue to change, whether human beings are helping it to change or not. What we're talking about here is climate alarmism being the new secular religion in place of Christianity and other people of faith. And in this secular religion, only the rich and the politically powerful will be able to save us. That's what these narratives are about, is fear-mongering. They want to be your shepherds. And that's why I bring that up on this Good Shepherd Sunday. Ever notice how quickly the language changes in order to adapt a narrative to bring more fear? Don't say mom anymore. Say birthing person. Don't say mother anymore. Say menstruating person. Binary people are the challenge. We're the problem. It is those enlightened gay, lesbian, transgender, and gender fluid people that are cutting edge. And our kids need to know. Put it in the textbooks. Hire woke teachers, shepherds to lead them and guide them, people in authority to teach them woke ideology, to sexualize the children at a young age, to seize their hearts, to bring about the drag queen story hour that everybody loves so much. Let's start puberty blockers at age 5 and then mutilate bodies not many years later. Abortion? Abortion kills 1 million people in our nation every year. Bill Clinton used to say, it should be safe, legal, and rare. But now the narrative has changed. No longer safe, legal, and rare. It's go out and start a clinic and bring your priest to that clinic or your bishop to bless it in the name of God. You see what's happening here? We're being led by our government, who's in bed with incredibly religious elites. And a lie is being told to our culture that is out to destroy our economy, destroy our nuclear families, to destroy this freedom that we enjoy, to destroy the very things that make America great. And once all is destroyed, we'll build back better. You know where that term comes from? Biden didn't come up with that term. That is a term that's used by presidents and prime ministers across the world right now, and it comes from the World Economic Forum. And Eric Metaxas, the bright-minded Christian writer and social critic, says that the end game is this. The end game is cultural Marxism, a society in which we will own nothing and be happy. All of this is tied to power and control, and the root of it all is money. People are getting richer, The poor are getting poorer, and they know that we will need a Savior, and that'll be the government. Now, why do I say all this on Good Shepherd Sunday? Because the tale is as old as the Bible. In John's Gospel, chapter 9, the very previous chapter to the one we just read, we run into the ruling class of that day, the socially elite of that day, the people who were out for power and control over our destiny. And they were called the Pharisees. And Jesus had just done a great miracle. It says in the 9th chapter, never has anyone healed a man born blind, but Jesus did it. A great miracle. But instead of the Pharisees saying, great, we're all for human flourishing, they say, we know that God does not listen to sinners. And this man, Jesus, is a sinner. He's a sinner. The Pharisees, of course, are losing control at this point. This man, Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, has come to display his great power and authority over all kinds of evil. He's come to show love to people who are lost, showing kindness and tenderness to people who really desperately want to be made whole again. So what do? They lie about our Lord, and they lie for power and control and gain. Doesn't that sound a whole lot like the human condition throughout the ages? Years ago, there was a phrase, absolute power corrupts absolutely. If you're a fallen human being and you're given absolute power, it will corrupt. But God stands against these lying shepherds. And last year we read from Ezekiel 34. I'm sad that it didn't make the lectionary this year. But in that chapter, God talks about shepherds who are defrauding his people. He says, my sheep have become prey to these evil shepherds. But thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against these shepherds, and I will require my sheep from their hand, and I'll put a stop to them feeding on my sheep. God's wrath was kindled. They're feeding on my sheep. I love my people. I'll not let them be destroyed. Jesus says it in another way today, whether it's Pharisees 2,000 years ago or politically elite and wealthy elite today. He calls them thieves and robbers because they care nothing about the well-being of God's people. In fact, we know they're out for gain because in verse 12, Jesus says they're hired hands who care nothing about God's people but their own personal gain. All of this is to say that God's wrath has been kindled against shepherds who lie to God's people and persuade them in evil. Friends, my point is this. We don't need a donkey who's going to lie to us a little less than most donkeys. We don't need an elephant who's going to lie to us a little bit less than most elephants. We don't need the donkey. We don't need the elephant. What we need is the lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Only he is the great shepherd of the sheep that cares for us. We desperately need Jesus, not the donkey, not the elephant, but the great shepherd. In Judges chapter 21, I'm always amazed at this verse. In those days, there was no king of Israel, so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? When you have no ruler over your heart and your mind, you have no direction, no guidance, no true shepherd, then people are free to do what's right in their own eyes. So as God's wrath was kindled, but also his compassion is kindled. His compassion. Matthew 9:36 says, when Jesus looked over and saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I'd imagine Jesus wept over a world gone crazy, over his beloved children listening to a cacophony of voices that ultimately lead to destruction. I believe that Jesus probably weeps for us today in this world where we need a great shepherd of the sheep. So I call you to listen to him. Listen to him. At the beginning of our Lord's ministry, remember, was the baptism. The Holy Spirit of God came down in bodily form like a dove. And the words came out of the Father's mouth, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased, well pleased. And the missionary journey of the public ministry began. But it was near the end that similar words were given to Jesus. Remember, he took Peter, James, and John up on that high mountain called the Mount of Transfiguration? And there were some shepherds there, right? There was Moses, the giver of the law, the shepherd of God's people. There was Elijah, the great prophet of God, who spoke the truth and wisdom to God's people. There were two great shepherds. But remember what happened? Moses disappeared. Elijah disappeared. And it was Jesus alone on the mountaintop that day. And again, a loud voice came from heaven, from the Father, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen only to him." Listen to him. He's the great shepherd. Listen only to him. So in verse 7 today, Jesus began to say to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am," which means I'm God, "I am the door of the sheep." Verse 8, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." The sheep did not listen to them. We are to listen to Jesus as the great shepherd, Jesus alone. And in verse 3, we find out why that's so important. It says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls each of his sheep by name, and then he leads them out to better pastures." The sheep hear his name. They follow where he leads. They listen to Jesus alone for salvation, for guidance, for moral instruction, for health and human flourishing. In fact, that's the picture we get when we fall under the great care of the Good Shepherd from Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And when we're under such an awesome, wonderful, authoritative, powerful shepherd as that, verse 6 comes to mind. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Friends, don't look for hired hands. Listen only to the God who loves you and the Christ who came to be your shepherd. In verse 10, Jesus reminds us, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. We flourish under the guidance of the great shepherd Jesus. Only in Jesus can we find human flourishing. And his wrath is kindled towards those shepherds who are evil, who are hired hands, who would lead his people astray. But his compassion is on those who, like a sheep without a shepherd, are looking for Jesus to be in their lives, looking to be made whole. In verse 14, we read that this good shepherd who loves us so much, he lays down his life for his sheep. Friends, it is the point of the cross that speaks to the depths to which our shepherd is willing to go in order to love his sheep, to redeem his sheep, to lead them into green pastures, into flourishing meadows, leading them beside still waters, restoring their souls by the blood of the Lamb. Listen only to him. He loves you. And now on to sheep. Now, sheep are mentioned over 400 times in the Bible, shepherds over 100 times. And when we all know it's powerful imagery, but when you and I are called sheep, it should not be a flattering thing. Let me just put it out there. When the Bible calls us sheep, we think of fluffy little, cute little critters. But sheep have no sense of direction on their own. They lose direction constantly. They have no sense of where they're going. Sheep are extremely obstinate. They are hard-headed critters. That's God talking about us. That is why sheepdogs are employed to scare them back into their grouping, into the flock, to round them up and take them home safely. But sheep are helpless. They're full of lice, ticks, worms, in need of constant attention and grooming. They have no defense capabilities. They couldn't stop a thing that came against them. They're absolutely helpless before their enemies. They are easily preyed upon, and they're yummy. They're yummy. And evil shepherds will prey on the sheep. From Ezekiel 34, "They are eating my sheep," God says. That is how God describes you and me. It's not a glowing portrait of our human condition, but it's true and it's real. So when the Bible calls us sheep, it is an insult. Please know that. It is meant to insult our sense of individual choice, of self-governance, of self-sufficiency. Oh, we need a shepherd, not a hired hand, to take us to living waters and wonderful pastures. We need a shepherd that came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. And only Jesus can be that for us. But sadly, we're very independent in America, aren't we? Even Christians in America. I mean, we read God's word and we want to put ourselves under his authority. But many times we say, well, I'm going to choose what's right and wrong in my life. I don't care what God says. If God says that sex outside of marriage is wrong, then I'll submit to his authority over here. I'll listen to his voice over here, but I'm going to keep this area for myself. I'm not going to submit to the Lamb's authority over here. We desperately need Jesus to be our great shepherd in all aspects of our lives. Did you know this about sheep? Sheep will eat a patch of grass until it becomes mud and then fall down in the mud and die. They can't find the next patch of grass. They can't do it. And spiritually speaking, we are sheep who will eat things that damage our souls, that are against God's word and provision for our lives. We will listen to voices in our culture that lead us astray. We will drink from poisonous waters and eat secular lies until we die in the dust of untruth. Only the good shepherd has the truth and the wisdom and the words that we need. He will lead us beside the still waters, where our souls can be nourished and replenished, where spiritual nourishment and refreshment comes from knowing and listening to the great shepherd of the sheep. Sheep will always fail when we put our trust in anything other than the great shepherd. Isaiah 53:6 says this, "All we, like sheep, go astray, every one of us to his own way." I'm an American. I can choose right or wrong for myself. We go astray. And the Lord, though, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we know that's the precious weight of Jesus that he bore on the cross. And I know preachers need words of encouragement as well. And I've been highly discouraged by what I see going on in our society. And I needed this 10th chapter of John's gospel today. And I hope you did too. Because it reminds us that Jesus has canceled our debts through the blood of the cross, that he loves us and wants the best for us, that he grieves over sheep without a shepherd, and that his wrath is even now kindled against blind guides who feed upon God's sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That really just resonated in my heart this week, and I hope it does yours. Will you say that with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We don't have to remain confused or in despair. In the midst of this dystopian culture of death and lies, we need to be reminded of verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's an ancient way of saying, God's got this. God's got this. Will Willimon, one of my professors at Duke, wrote a neat little book called Sunday Dinner on Holy Communion. And he brings about the ancient codes in the Old Testament about hospitality. And he said, if a bandit were chasing you through the wilderness and was hot on your trail, but you found a village and you went to the chieftain and he invited you into his tent and he broke bread at his table, then you were under his care and his guidance. He was nourishing you. And the ancient rules of hospitality is that no enemy can come through the gates to get you. Isn't that a reminder on Sunday mornings as we break bread together as the people of God and as we receive the holy sacrament of Jesus and feast on his bread, the great shepherd of the sheep, that we're reminded that no harm can come against us. God's got this. God is inviting us to a table of refreshment. It is his pledge that he has the restores our souls and leads us to righteousness and truth. So take heart, St. Paul's. Jesus said, Jesus is the great I am. He said, I am the door to the sheep pen. That means that I am God and I'll lead you into my sheep pen. He said, I am the great shepherd that came to watch over my sheep. He brings protective grace and love to his people. Listen only to Him. He alone leads us to human flourishing. The further we get from Jesus, the more our minds are formed in secular saviors who want to save us by secular means, the more we will lead to destruction. But the Good Shepherd will never lead us except for into streams of righteousness, beautiful meadows, wonderful blessings. Listen only to Him. Oh, that today we would all hearken to His voice and His alone. To the glory of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.